strange lodgers in his boarding house. We were saying something similar last week when I suggested there shouldn't be a Presbyterian demographic. Like the Church of Jesus Christ, it is in the DNA of the Presbyterian Church to be an inclusive church which celebrates diversity. We do a good job of that here in Traverse City, but too often, through too many generations in the larger Presbyterian Church, that welcoming gene has been recessive.
Are you going to laugh at that one?
Personally, I think this is one of the fundamental reasons our denomination is dying. Our niche market is declining. We've had a difficult time crossing boundaries of race, class, and culture, among others. As we've mentioned the last couple weeks, too many Presbyterians find it challenging to love those who are radically different from us. Sadly, not much has changed since Dr. King first observed that Sunday morning at 10 a.m. is the most segregated hour of the week. Why is this? I think it has to do with our understanding of Christian community. We church shop. We look for churches that fulfill our needs or the needs of our family. We bring preconceptions of what a church should be like. We become disillusioned when others in the church or the church itself doesn't live up to our expectations. When this occurs, we disengage from the community, cause dissension, or perhaps start the church shopping process all over. What if we looked at Christian community a little differently? Not through our eyes, but through the eyes of Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has done this well in one of his most popular, if not most influential, books, Life Together. There, Bonhoeffer suggests those who love their dream of a Christian community more than the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. That's important. Let me read it again. Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community, even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial. I think we've seen that going on in the Presbyterian Church across the country for 50 years. For Bonhoeffer, and I'll be paraphrasing here, Christian community is formed not in our visions and dreams, or our hopes and desires, or our wants and needs. Christian community is formed in Jesus Christ. We are Christian because the Word of God has called us out of ourselves, convicting and claiming us for Jesus Christ. Our life, our death, our salvation come not from us, but from Christ alone. Understanding this, we see how futile it is to church shop. We should look not for programs that satisfy our personal needs, but for the risen Lord who has claimed our life. The questions we should ask are not, is there a good youth program? Do they play the music I enjoy? Or do I like the pastor? The questions we should ask are, is the Word of God preached? Will people in that church love me, hold me accountable, nurture my faith, and help me to grow in my discipleship. Is Christ present there? Pastor Myers, aren't we still church shopping, just with a different list? Maybe, but I don't think so. The difference, I believe, is to be found in the relationships that are created. If I come to church looking to have my needs met, I will be sure to be disappointed. Even in the best church, there are those whose needs and beliefs conflict with mine. There are others who will let me down, disappoint me. There will be decisions made, locally or by the denomination, that I won't like. Being in a true relationship with somebody can be hard, discouraging, and frustrating. Whether in a church, family, a marriage, being in a real relationship takes work, takes intention, takes grace. If the relationship is only about my needs, it's easier to walk away when things go south. But if I come to a church as one called, convicted, and claimed by Jesus Christ, I will have real relationships. For these relationships will have been born not in mutual self-interest or like-minded perspectives, but in Jesus Christ. Having been called by Christ, not only will I know this is where I'm supposed to be, but I'll recognize others are called to be here as well. And being called into a relationship by Christ is a much stronger bond than mutual self-interest. Having been convicted by Christ, not only will I see my own shortcomings in the light of the cross and know firsthand the good news of God's gracious love, I will see in the imperfections of my sisters and brothers the reflection of my own. And I will have the privilege of sharing the grace I have received. Mercy, forgiveness, and grace are what makes it possible for us to remain in relationship when our frustrations and discouragement make walking away seem so appealing. Having been claimed by Christ, I will be able to be in relationship with others, even those radically different from me. For I will see they too are claimed by Christ. Our relationship will be defined not by similarities and differences, but by our communion with Christ and with each other. Our unity will come not from agreement on social issues, our mutual self-interest, or our political perspectives. Our unity will come because we are truly one in Christ. If we come as those called, convicted, and claimed by Jesus Christ, we will see with Bonhoeffer the physical presence of other Christians, even those radically different from us, The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength. Friends, if love is at the heart of the Christian faith, unity is the lifeblood. In John's gospel, Jesus makes clear, if anyone is to believe this good news of God's love, which Christ gave his life to proclaim, they will need to see this love brought to life in the unity of his followers. A divided church will find it all but impossible to proclaim the love of God in a life-changing way. Just look at our denomination. We see how important unity is for Jesus in his prayer. Jesus could have prayed for courage, wisdom, faith, anything. He makes reference to the world. He asks for protection from the evil one. But the focus of his prayer is unity. Unity for his disciples and everyone who will believe in Jesus because of their preaching, including us. This unity is the lifeblood of the Christian faith, to be one with each other as Christ and the Father are one. The source of this unity is the relationship, the love, the communion between God and Christ. Jesus says, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. Our unity with each other reflects this unity between God and Jesus. This is why our unity is so important to Jesus. The divine communion reflected in us crosses all barriers of race, culture, gender, politics, or class. Jesus prays we will be one with him, one with God, and one with each other. Jesus prays for this divine communion. For communion with Christ is the only hope for a broken, fractured world. Jesus could see his disciples were not of one mind. There were rivalries and divisions among them. Each had their own vision for their mission and their role in the movement. Their life together was a microcosm of the larger world, a world filled with enmity, strife, divisions, and conflict. If there was to be any hope that the world might be healed, it would be born here in the unity of his disciples. If they could be of one mind, if they could share in the divine communion between Father and Son, they could show the world another way. Now we should say, we're not speaking of a nation where we suppress our differences for the sake of homogeneity. We're not speaking of a church where we suppress the freedom of thought for the sake of right doctrine. We're not speaking of a culture where creative expression must be curtailed for the sake of conformity, as it was said so eloquently by a little child. We're speaking of a world where the glory of God, God's true nature, is revealed on a cross and reflected in our lives. Yes, in this world there will still be differences and disagreements. There will be necessary arguments, perhaps even conflict. But there will also be mercy, forgiveness, and grace. We will struggle to find our way. Community, communion and unity. Community will not come without a cost. But as Christians, we can show the world there is a better way. Where is the hope in partisan self-interest? Our only hope is the communion we share in Jesus Christ. Preparing for this morning, I came across a quote on Facebook that cut me to the quick. True Christianity is a lost religion. Today's Christians aren't interested in following Christ. They are interested in scapegoating their guilt and feeling morally superior to everyone else. I had to ask, do these words hurt so much because they aren't true or because they are? I think the truthful answer is yes. Reflecting on this critique of contemporary Christianity, I realized the prevalent Christianity in our culture, the Christianity identifiable to most people who are not Christian, is a cultural Christianity, which serves to sanctify our way of life. The values of our culture, the powers and principalities ordained by our culture, the partisan divisiveness reflected in our culture, the moral superiority demonstrated by both sides in the culture wars, are all sanctified by cultural Christianity. But this doesn't mean true Christianity is nowhere to be found. We know this firsthand from our life together. True Christianity is alive and well, and I believe it's growing. I see this more and more. People tired of the fighting are finding ways to love one another and work together for the common good, serving the poor, bringing comfort to those who grieve, befriending the lonely. They're finding unity, not in shared political perspectives or religious beliefs, racial heritage or gender identity, a common culture or class. They're finding unity in a mutual love for others, even those radically different from themselves. They're finding unity by setting aside their self-interest and seeking the common good. They're finding unity because they are striving for unity in spite of their divisions and differences. They're finding unity in a shared communion in Christ. Beloved, this is the church Christ is praying for us to be. In our life together, and throughout the world. Thanks be to God.